Greetings and welcome to an emergency broadcast on behalf of the Semitic people of Gaza that have been under brutal occupation for 61 years. We have breaking news today. It's a joint TIU, the Info Underground, and I am the witness, the French Connection broadcast. So myself and Daryl will be interviewing several people, including ex-Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney and some other activists, Quiva Butterly, and we have some other people from the Free Gaza Movement, which will try to get everybody in here. Cynthia, we have breaking news here. Can you explain to us what's going on exactly?
Well, the breaking news is that the Free Gaza Movement Hope Fleet, which consists of the Spirit of Humanity and the boat Free Gaza, we're supposed to set sail this morning around 10 o'clock. We arrived at the port this morning around 8:30-ish or so, and we were prepared to board the boat, and we were prevented from boarding the boat. That is the breaking news. Yet, what is interesting is the reasons that we were given for being prevented from boarding the boat and, of course, then taking off for Gaza. And the reason is that we were given is that the boat, one of the boats, was not seaworthy, but it's the same boat that was declared seaworthy previously and that went out to sea, and one other boat had some issue with paperwork, and this all happened today. It began to manifest itself yesterday afternoon, and then of course it all happened when we arrived at the port. Now the second interesting thing is that the story was broken out of Israel, not out of Cyprus. This is something that happened in Cyprus. We had local Cyprus press who were there covering our departure or our expected departure, and yet we can't find any of the Cyprus reports online. Haaretz has the story already. Yeah.
Can I just get Quiva to come in and introduce her? I'm not aware of Quiva Butterly, of who you are, what group you're representing. Can you give us a little bit of background, please?
I work with the Free Gaza Movement, and I've lived in Gaza since October. I think that's the last 7 months, and I'm presently in Cyprus to help support and help organize this trip, which we hope will go ahead tomorrow.
Okay.
Well, I've got a couple of detailed questions I'd like to ask both of you. This is Daryl Bradford Smith calling you both. I want to first congratulate you both on your efforts. How many boats are in the flotilla, and what are their sizes? What kind of tonnage are we talking about in these boats? Are they pleasure craft converted over to freighting boats, or are they, in fact, the kind of ship that would be used normally for freighting?
We have two boats in the flotilla, and hopefully for any listeners who are out there who have boats of their own who would like to join in future flotillas, there's definitely space for you here. But the two boats, one is a ferry, and the second is a converted fishing boat. Both are seaworthy. Both have passed various inspections, etc. And I mean, what happened today is in some ways perhaps predictable, but also confusing, given our track record with the Cypriot government, in which we've been actually shown a considerable amount of support in our previous trips. So we're really hoping that the very positive position of the Cypriot government in aiding a project, you know, which is symbolically and practically breaking the siege and focusing, hopefully, international attention on the inhumanity and criminality of the continuation of the siege, which is collectively punishing over 1.5 million people. But we're hoping that this position will continue and that our relation with our relations with the Cypriot government will remain positive, you know, and that these trips obviously will continue. But certainly, you know, this is not a closed case. We're going back tomorrow with all of the passengers. The cement is ready to be loaded up. The medical equipment and relief that we're bringing in has been stored on the boats. The flags are up, and we're hoping to hit the season and head full steam to business.
Peter, let me ask you this: what registration are these boats carrying? Are they Greek Cypriot registrations, or are they from another?
Yes.
I had a question for Cynthia earlier that when you were on air here, was there a possibility of you departing from the Turkish Cypriot side with the possibility that they might be more amenable for an aid ship leaving a Turkish port rather than a Greek port?
Unfortunately, no. Obviously, I mean, for us to try and depart from Turkish Cyprus would most definitely complicate, I think, the whole procedure at this stage. They are obviously amenable and supportive, and certainly Turkish relief organizations are hopefully assembling both land and sea convoys in the coming months themselves. But I think to give them credit where credit is due, the Greek Cypriot government have been very supportive of this initiative up until now. There have been complications in the past, but again, I think, you know, this is quite an unprecedented movement and initiative in the sense, you know, of the fact that we are bringing people, you know, into a siege, into the Gaza Strip, which is hermetically sealed, and oftentimes bringing Palestinians out as well. We brought out Palestinian students, medical cases, etc., over the past voyages, and the Cypriot government has been facilitating this. So we are hopeful, you know, that there will be progress tomorrow, and obviously we welcome support initiatives from Turkish Cyprus and Turkey as well.
Your ship now, leaving that port, is it possible that there's an individual or a part of the Greek Cypriot administration that is stopping you, or are you aware of the individuals or administrations that are putting these roadblocks in your way at the moment, and are you in contact with them?
In terms of individuals, no. I mean, I think, you know, it's very logical and predictable to think that the Israeli government is putting significant pressure in whatever ways they can, I think, on whatever government or country would host such a movement. So, you know, in some ways, I think we've been pleasantly surprised up until now, you know, the fact that although we have had problems in the past, you know, that they have not translated into the blocking of voyages. We do think that there's a possibility of resolving this. We're very hopeful of that. But of course, I mean, I think the pressure that is probably being put on a variety of different sources here is to be expected. But we haven't identified individuals. But we are, we do have contacts here. There will be hopefully intervention from various parliamentarians, activists, etc. And we're hoping, you know, again that the position that the Cypriot people certainly hold in the sense of you know support for the Palestinian people and struggle. You know, for deep dissent and condemnation of an illegal and immoral siege will be translated into action in terms of a challenging, hopefully, of this stalling. But again, we'll keep keep you posted. Hopefully tomorrow.
Let me add that one, that Quiver was on the boat with me when we were rammed by the Israelis, and secondly, I will say, without Quiva's intervention, that it is clear that a deviation from standard operating procedure has taken place. Mm-hmm. And as far as that deviation is concerned, we have to ask ourselves why. Why is there all of a sudden the twists and the contortions around inspections, around what's being carried? If we go back and look at the Haaretz article that talked about what we were bringing into Gaza, it was cement that they specifically mentioned. And it was the cement. I believe that the cement is the key to the issue of why we are experiencing this problem. The Cypriot government donated the medical supplies that were on the Dignity. So we understand that the Cypriot government has been extremely supportive. And this is not, even though Haaretz headline says that Cyprus has denied us the opportunity to leave today, I would say that it's not Cyprus at all.
Well, I think that's fairly clear. So, Cynthia, just to get it, and Quiva, so you're trying to deliver to a very Semitic people that have been under brutal conditions since the attacks of over Christmas at the end of 2008. You're trying to deliver 3 tons of medical supplies that are given to you by the Cypriot government and 15 tons of cement. That's what I've heard so far. Is that correct?
These are symbolic quantities, and I think just to contextualize what we're talking about, over 50,000 people were displaced or made homeless by the attacks in December and January. There was already a housing crisis in Gaza, and there has been, as mentioned, a hermetic sealing of the Gaza Strip. This means that no building supplies whatsoever are allowed into the Strip. It is important, I think, and this is one of our focuses on this journey, and we are honored to have a number of activists from the Arab world, from Bahrain, Kuwait, Jordan, and Yemen with us, but it's very important, I think, for us to expose the hypocrisy and double standards of Western governments, of Arab regimes in, you know, all of these talks and quite fancy conferences, you know, focused on reconstruction, when the stark reality, you know, of the siege is that not one bag of cement is being allowed in. So although it's a symbolic quantity, we're hoping that it will, you know, obviously, I think, perhaps capture the public imagination or stir people into mounting similar initiatives. But to put things in context, I mean, there was a deliberate and systematic targeting of the humanitarian infrastructure of Gaza during the December and January attacks, and there has been no reconstruction since.
So you've got as schools and hospitals are in need of repair or even reconstruction,
of course.
And you're not able to even affect any beginnings here on reconstruction. So what is it?
Living in tents and reconstructing out of mud bricks. I mean, that is the reality. Over 12,000
How about food aid as well? I mean, I understand that a lot of the food aid that was attempting to get through into Gaza, some of it got through, but a lot of it was being stopped by the Egyptian side of the border crossing when you were making other deliveries from land. I know there was a land attempt for aid. Are we seeing the Egyptian Navy in any way involved off their coastline, or they're interested in maybe thwarting your deliveries? Because people in the United States may not be aware of it, but the Gaza's border is on the border with both Israel and Egypt. So are there any activities that you've anticipated from the Egyptian side?
Whether or not there is any participation in this particular blockage, I think it's important, as you raised, to focus obviously as well on Egyptian complicity. When we talk about Israeli war crimes, there are secondary partners in those war crimes. The sealing of Rafah, of the crossing into Gaza, was in direct violation of international humanitarian law, the Fourth Geneva Convention, etc., in the sense that they were blocking doctors and humanitarian relief coming in and oftentimes stalling patients coming out. So, yes, I mean, you know, the fact that the Egyptians, under, you know, direct pressure from the Israelis, are blocking humanitarian relief coming in through Rafah, you know, are blocking building materials coming in, is part, you know, of this game. And although I'm not sure, you know, I'm not sure I speculate if the Egyptians are actually directly involved in this, you know, the fact that building materials are not allowed in through Rafah, you know, is further contributing to a siege which would not exist if that border would not exist to the same intensity if that border was opened for people to come in and out more freely and to bring in supplies. So we're hoping, you know, that many courageous activists in Egypt, you know, civil society groups, etc., who are mobilizing in terms of really trying to pressure the Egyptian government, you know, on their shameful positions, and be a voice of courage and conscience in solidarity with the Palestinian people. We're hoping that can have a translation, and certainly as a movement we stand in solidarity with Egyptian activists who are resisting their government's positions, which you know, which do support and prolong the siege.
Well, I'd just like to, if I can, may just like to add in, we'll get this recording out in Blogosphere in a very short time after this interview is done, and I'm calling on all the activists on the internet that are aware of Zionist crimes, put aside, you know, whatever infighting is going on. We have the people with 1.5 million people that are living under brutal conditions, and this is our time, not tomorrow, not the next day, it's today we need to act. Get out, get start calling. If you go to the Info Underground, we're posting all the numbers of the Cypriot government. We're looking for the Cypriot at the UN here in Geneva, Switzerland. We need people to make calls now to make sure that Cuiva and Cynthia McKinney and the rest of the boats can leave and go and feed and get some homes built for these poor Palestinian people. Now, people need to get off their backsides and go out there and and help us. Make phone calls, send faxes, send emails, send this audio around. It'll be available on the Info on the Ground, and I am the witness directly after this. And this is not a time to say, oh, well, I'll see what happens. This is life and death for 1.5 million people. This is Israeli brutality, which people seem to have already forgotten about, the mass murder over Christmas, New Year. And this we cannot allow to continue. This has to stop.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, on this call, you know, one of the things that I've been very aware of is that Israel has acted in a criminal way. And in fact, international law protects your right to deliver to Gaza, as well as humanitarian law. There, in other words, there's, the United Nations is involved in law breaking going on with not being a participant in these deliveries. My words to you are that I like to declare this regime that is in Tel Aviv and in the Jerusalem and in Haifa Harbor and wherever they're operating out of is acting criminally. And the fact is what we need to understand is that the Israelis' actions need to be seen in that light. We have to stop seeing them as a victim, because they're not victims, they're victimizers. And that's the change of perception that I think needs to get into the minds of Americans. And they've got to stop blindly accepting the news reports they get on their controlled press, and they've got to start looking at the facts as they are on the ground. And this is an important inflection point, I think, for people to start really understanding the dynamics of this crime gang that has been subjugating and destroying these Palestinians for 60 years, as Agner has pointed out. And Cynthia, I want to ask you, the last time you were on the Dignity and you saw this ship coming to ram you, and you know they may said it was a mistake, they said that the same thing about the USS Liberty, are you concerned at all that these criminals acting on behalf of the Israeli government would be willing to even sink your attempt at bringing these supplies into Gaza?
What I've said is that they have denied us so they wouldn't have to ram us. I am holding a letter in my hand right now, which I will send out by email, and basically, the letter says that the ship failed the inspection, but the letter was prepared before the inspection was even carried out. So that's what we're dealing with, and we really do need everyone who can hear this broadcast to contact the government of Cyprus, no matter where they are, and ask them to please let free Gaza go. Let us go and do what we need to do for the people of Gaza.
I agree.
Let me just give out a telephone number, and directly after this show I'm going to call. The number is +41 22 798 2150, and that is the permanent mission of the Republic of Cyprus here in Geneva, Switzerland. That's their permanent mission to the UN, which I will be directly on the phone to these people after this. And we need activists out there. This isn't about any personalities. It's great to have Cynthia and Quiva and Daryl come on and talk about it, but the Palestinian people really need the help, and now we need to break this absolute blockade of the Palestinian people, and we need this corridor to be opened and open permanently. The Israelis can't expect to go in and murder 1,500 people, injure 5,000, have 50,000 to 100,000 people moved out. I was looking at photos the other day of these Semitic Palestinian people living in tents and you know, under pieces of whatever they can recover. I mean, the Israelis blew up buildings. They've smashed the place to smithereens, and we need to help them, and we need to help them now. People need to get on the phone, come to the forums, and get the word out. Get this audio out into blogosphere as quickly as possible, and hopefully we can get Cynthia and Quiva and the rest of the Armada out of the Cyprus ports as quickly as possible on their way to the people in Gaza.
I have a question for the group. During your voyage, if we can get you out of port, will you have the ability to do broadcasts from the ship in the event that you begin to see harassment from the Israeli gunboats or others? Will you be bringing with you communication gear that we can possibly get a direct contact with you?
Well, I want Quiva to answer that question, but I also have something I want to add.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I would just be pointing at something to get her attention. But there, we will have satellite phones, definitely. And I think it would be really brilliant if you guys could keep in touch just to document what's going on. Okay. I would like to mention, you know, that when calling to the people of the states, you know, to activists to really take positions of resistance, you know, to the complicity, the direct complicity, $4 billion of military aid per year of their government in the siege and occupation. But it's really, I think, important that people be inspired, you know, by the participation of Cynthia, of the other American citizens who are on board these boats. And we welcome, you know, we invite people to come with us to join on both the sea convoys, on the Viva Palestina land convoys, etc. But that really, that we translate, you know, the outrage, the anger, the solidarity that so many people felt who were politicized, you know, hopefully before, but if not in the December and January massacres, but that we translate that into concrete action. Because I think the steadfastness, you know, of the Palestinian people, the fact that they refuse to be broken when living under such oppression really demands that of us.
Yep. And that really leads into what I wanted to say, and that is for everyone also, as they are contacting the Cyprus government, please contact the White House, because President Obama has not done enough, but he has done one thing that we need to acknowledge, and that is he sent a communication to Israel specifically mentioning easing the blockade, particularly with respect to cement. That's what we have, particularly with respect to medical supplies. That's what we have. And, of course, when President Carter went there, he was nearly brought to tears when he visited one of the schools that was bombed to smithereens, completely destroyed, one of seven schools that was destroyed by the Israelis, and he recognized that it was U.S. F-16s that did that. And so President Obama has made the opening. Now he needs to go the rest of the way and make sure that he also supports our efforts with communication to the government of Cyprus to let us go and deliver this much-needed assistance to the people of Gaza.
If I may just add in here, let me just give out a few telephone numbers here. The permanent representative of the Cypriot Council in Europe, which is in Strasbourg, the telephone number is 00333-8824-9870. That's 00333-8824-9870. In Italy, we have 0039-06-68-65-758. So that's 0039-06-68-65-758. In London, the permanent representative of the Republic of Cyprus to the International Maritime Organization in London, telephone number 0044. Without a zero from outside, then 207-3214 extension 100. So that's 0044 207-3214 extension 100. And we put up the rest of them from Paris, from Vienna, from in Switzerland. I'll repeat the number for Switzerland, which I will look after myself personally. 0041-22-798-2150. New York, the last one. 001-212-4816023 or 2425. I'll repeat. 001-212-4816023. And it goes on. We supply all the lists on the forums, and people need to get active now. We need to get these ships out of the water and moving as quickly as possible.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for allowing us to have this moment so we could put our plea out to the world.
Cynthia, listen, while we have you on, we're going to make the most of it. Myself and Daryl, you know, we're quite active. The Haaretz story seems to have been planted in advance. I mean, they don't mention you by name. They mention an ex-congresswoman. They're very, very well aware of what's going on. I presume they have their plants there in the port in Cyprus. This has been well orchestrated. As good that Cuiva said, you know, you're to be expected from these people. The people of the world need to wake up to this. This is brutality. This is illegal. This is a crime against humanity. Yet if somebody something happens in Iran or somewhere else, and then the whole world presses up in arms. And this is another war crime. This is a continuation of the war, ongoing war against the Palestinian people being carried out by the state, the illegal state of Israel. And it has to come to an end. And people need to, you know, draw your line in the sand. A minor line has been drawn for several years. This is unacceptable. The people of Palestine had nothing got to do with World War II. They can't be blamed. It was the British did not have the right to give their land away on these people that have been. I don't even want to use any bad language, but for the last 61 years, and it's the time to help them. Is there anyone else that you'd like us to get in touch with? I know you're going to be on the boat, and you know, Cynthia, one question for you is, I know you haven't learned to swim since I last spoke to you. Do you have a life jacket with you?
Let me reassure you that the Free Gaza Movement takes care of all of that. We sat through an entire day, 8 hours of safety and security training.
Beautiful.
And so they have lifeboats, they have life rafts, they have life jackets, they have...
So the USS Liberty, and they got shot at. So, you know, I don't take that. I'm worried
yes.
about safety, Cynthia and Quiva and the rest of... Can you give us a little bit of a background into this Free Gaza Movement? I heard this name Ramsey coming up there. I know Darren would have some questions if we could get him up. Is it possible to get him on?
Definitely. Yes, I think Ramsey could be available, definitely. He's, to be honest, absolutely knackered. He's just been working 24/7 for a ridiculously long amount of time. But yeah, for a few questions. But basically, the Free Gaza Movement is an international movement of activists from many different countries who are united around the necessity of translating our outrage into practical direct action and trying to open up the sea route into Gaza. And I think, you know, that there is a growing understanding, you know, that silence in the face of war crimes and massacres is direct complicity, and that if we say that we stand in solidarity with the Palestinian people in struggle, that we really have to be willing to take, you know, even a fraction of the risks that they take, you know, just through their daily lives, through feeding their children, through educating their children, through, you know, living really under the barrel of a gun, aware of their vulnerability and their precarity, and yet they remain, you know, not only intact but extremely positive and resilient. So, you know, we definitely believe, you know, that where our governments are, you know, exhibiting again, you know, shameful positions of complicity, of acting for their own interests, etc., that there is a phrase, you know, that the people lead and the leaders follow. And we really believe this. We really believe, you know, that through, you know, organizing that we can represent an alternative face of the West, and that we can break, you know, at the very least, the suffocating isolation that people in Gaza feel at the moment. Because really, the daily sacrifices, you know, that they make, the daily oppression that they endure, you know, is intolerable, and it's really time, you know, that I think that we put our money where our mouths are and realize that demonstrations alone are not translating into any mechanism that gets an ambulance into a refugee camp when people are bleeding to death during these massacres.
Darryl,
so we have to up the ante.
Darryl, if I can just pass it over there to Darryl. Darryl, I mean, what do you make of it? You have this Israeli brutality where they're, you know, they're have a concentration camp of 1.5 million people in it that are suffering. This kind of goes into this Netanyahu no way of a two-way, two-state solution.
Well, he's claiming on the surface to want a two-state solution, but then on the other side of it, he's expanding settlements and destroying more olive groves and blowing up more houses and bulldozing more things, and of course starving the population at the same time. So what he's doing is actually he's playing with the Western press as making it look like he's amenable to working with the Palestinian people, but in fact nothing could be farther from the truth. As we watch, you know, the refugee populations in Beirut and in Jordan swell, and the death of parts of Palestine, we all have to be mindful of the fact that this will not stop unless the people of the world stop it, because certainly the Israelis have no interest whatsoever in speaking about kindness or generosity. You know, these are the same people that keep pregnant pregnant women who are in labor away from hospitals. These are the same people who will not permit insulin to arrive in Gaza to treat diabetics. These are the same people who, you know, are stopping PT young children from going to school and getting school books. So what we're talking about here is a criminal state, the criminal state of Israel. We have to start understanding them as such. It has, they have really done themselves a huge disservice by killing the Gazans back in at Christmas time. If you are a Zionist, you are looking back at that as a terrible blunder. However, what we need to do, I think, is as caring human beings, is to take the mantle of truth and bring it to the rest of the world who are not aware of the horrors that the Israelis have committed. And I have to thank both your guests here, Noel, for the work they've done. Cynthia, you know what? You're a real great example for other people, and I'm proud to say you are a congressman.
Darren, I'm not quite finished with Cynthia, because there's a very important issue that we mentioned, and Cynthia will know a lot more than most of us. Israel, and Quiva mentioned it, $4 billion a year given free to Israel. What about companies like Caterpillar that build these special bulldozers, you know, with this free American money, with America, you know, in deep financial trouble at the moment? Israel, there's no question of Israel not getting money. What can we do, Cynthia, in your opinion, to who do we need to contact in Washington, D.C. to say, you know, stop, enough of this? And I mean, not going through the puppet politicians. Who are the sort of groups? What can we do to stop, freeze this free money going to Israel to persecute the Palestinians?
That is an excellent question, and of course, you know, that's something that I've been working on for a long time, trying to represent the true values that I believe are representative of the American people while I was in Congress. So, first of all, we have to make sure that we vote for the right people, and out of 535 members of Congress, only five of them voted against the resolution to support Israel during Operation Cast Lead. So, those five are to be commended, and the other 530 shouldn't get our vote for when the time comes for re-election. That's the first thing that we can do. The second thing that we have to do is to communicate with this White House. This White House has provided a modicum of an opening for us to have this discussion, to continue the discussion, because people began to have the discussion when they saw the white phosphorus, the depleted uranium, the dime weapons, all of that that happened, the shock and awe of the Israeli military during the 23 or so days of Operation Cast Lead in January and in December. So we need to continue that conversation with the White House and engage the White House through emails and telephone calls and faxes. That information is available online. You can get that information and send a fax to the White House. Send an email to the White House. Let the president know that you as an individual do not approve of the continued financing of the world's fourth most powerful military, and they use their military might indiscriminately. One other thing that I think is important for us to add and to ask for, and that is that we should ask that Congress not include in any appropriations bill any money for the Israeli military.
Absolutely.
And then we should ask the White House, we should ask the president not to sign any appropriation bill that has money for Israel's military in it.
Well, I doubt with leadership in his White House from the child of an Irgun terrorist, Rahm Emanuel, that's possible. Nor do I believe with people like Mr. Axelrod and the list. I could give you an hour-long list. I don't think he's got the ears. These people, the Israelis, have his ear. And the only reason that he would possibly acquiesce would be because of bad press. So what we need to do is make our press presence known. And that makes him move, not the fact that he would be working in behalf of the Irgun, not against them. And sadly, Mr. Emanuel is running that White House, and I don't even believe the president was duly elected. But that's another issue altogether. The issue is that the American public has to say that we don't trust the reports that come out of the press because, frankly, they won't cover this. It's not on my French. I'm broadcasting here from France. It is not on my French television. It's not going to be because the same control over the French broadcast is on the same in America, same in Britain. So it is contingent upon people like myself and like Ogner and others to bypass those organs of the press that are unwilling to speak these facts and go directly to the public. And it is working, Cynthia, you know it is. They're dying a slow death of a million cuts, and we are growing with power and a broader base support level. So it's our work that's going to continue to make these people take the right decisions, and I certainly don't think it's going to come from his conscience over in the White House.
This is very important. We get this out into the blogosphere and on the forums and all over the internet. The mainstream media it will whitewash it. They'll make Cynthia out to be whatever the usual way they treat you, Cynthia. Horrendous
way
they treat you, which is very unfair, but very predictable. But we do have a lot of bloggers. And I know quite a few bloggers that are report directly from what's going on in Palestine and in Gaza in particular. And these are not people that just showed up last week. These are people that have been around. I get this audio to them directly myself, and we get this out there. Now, the mainstream media will have to take notice when we get up there on thousands and thousands of blogs and forums all over the internet, because they can't control us. There's nothing they can do about it. So I'd say if we can keep in touch, Cynthia, I do have you, your contacts. And
yes.
Cueva, if we, during this, listen, we wish you the best of luck in getting these supplies. I know it's not enough, but it makes a statement. The information on the ground, and I am the witness, the French Connection, fully support the actions of trying to supply the poor Palestinian people that are in need. And it's about the Palestinian people. It isn't about Israel. We're sick of hearing it's about Israel, poor Israel. What about the poor Palestinians? Ladies, I'll let you have a last word. Daryl, you have a last word, and we'll wrap it up and call the show. It's been excellent having you on. This is all about the Palestinians. It's all about the poor Palestinians. Get the word out. Get these ships moving. Talk to whoever you need to talk to. Email this around. Do whatever you need to do. But we need it done today. I've cancelled what I have to do today. This is so important. This is what you can do to help the people of Palestine. Even if you've never met a Palestinian person in your life and all you've heard is Israel are attacking them again, get up and start moving. Ladies, over to you.
I just like to say that although Palestinians are obviously the victims of Israeli war crimes, they are also survivors of those crimes, and they are steadfast and resilient. So I think, when we show support and solidarity for them, I think we have to honor and respect that strength as well. Poor, definitely, in the sense of under living through war crimes and massacres, etc., but also very strong and very resilient, and their morale continues to be quite high. And I would just like to make a plug saying that Free Gaza, I'd say definitely as a whole, fully endorses the presidency of Cynthia McKinney, and will be happy to have a voice of courage and conscience in that house that is so sullied by so much blood of so many people worldwide.
Cynthia?
Well, I just want to say thank you. I am so impressed with the volunteers at the Free Gaza Movement. They have definitely made a difference in my life, and I know that every day they are making a difference in the lives of the Palestinians. And toward that end, they are living up to the noblest ideals, I think. And so I know that we have this very basic sense of humanity in most of us, and it is to that very basic sense of humanity that I appeal now and ask people to get involved, to become informed, to send those emails to the government of Cyprus. We don't need to be here at a hotel. We need to be in the Mediterranean Sea on our way to Gaza. Help us to get there.
I want to thank you both, and I know Ogner and from myself, and I want you to all both know that from my side on French Connection, this will go out to over 150 countries worldwide, and there are huge markets that are going to be listening to these facts, and I want to thank you for presenting them in such a humane way, and Noel, I want to thank you for inviting me on to join in on this conversation.
We need the teamwork and get the word out. Daryl, stay on the phone. We have some phone calls to make. Cynthia and Quiva, listen, best of luck. Let me know as soon as you're on. You have some access. Cynthia, you have my numbers. If you need to get something out, please don't hesitate to call me. The people at Gaza are too important to the rest of the world, and we're just putting, you know, we're drawing the line down. Enough is enough. Ladies, best of luck. Keep us informed.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. God bless.
Okay. Daryl, yeah. Okay, so the two ladies are off. Interesting. It's not a question of new facts for us, Daryl. We know what these criminals are all about anyway. We're well used to them. We're hoping for the people that, you know, the thousands and thousands of people who will download this from Daryl's site and a couple of hundred from my little site, to spread this around. Really, really get the word out to the bloggers that know what they're
doing. Who else is online with us right now? No.
Just myself and yourself, Daryl.
Okay, so why don't we process that as quickly as possible and get it under that blinking banner.
I'll have it to you in about 25 minutes. So Daryl,
if you want to just send it in my email, what I'll do is I can post.
So anyway, yes, Daryl, listen, we get this out straight away. We call that a show. We did about 45, 50 minutes. Hopefully this will wake a few more people up to Israeli brutality. Daryl, I'll be talking to you later in the day. Great of you to come on and talk to you.